I'm only going to read the first 10 verses. Quite long, but bear with me. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Verse 10 and last. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Amen to God's word. God's instructions to the children of Israel before they were entering Canaan. That transition from the bondage in Egypt to the conquest of Canaan was the journey of their life. They started off so well, didn't they, Brother Junior? You remember? Pharaoh was chasing them, and they had so much faith that they didn't fear. They just walked through that Red Sea with the water one side and the other. Full of faith. Full of... How many of you can swim? Aye. They were confident that God could do it all. They had confidence in their leader. But then you see a little bit later that this same group of people refused to enter the promised land because of the bad report from the spies. The same leader, Moses, had sent out the spies. You had Joshua and Caleb come back with the positive report, but they got fearful. And I said, no. And if you read on in Numbers and it talks about God, you read an exasperated God. Fed up. He thought, you know what? How long will these people not believe me? I've kept them. I showed them that I can do these wonderful things and they still won't trust me. And then the judgment came. And Moses had to intercede. Again, now what a leader. Oh, can I say, whoever wants to run up here, it is a job and a half. How many times has God's judgment been stopped because you had a praying pastor? And people that were willing to stand and intercede on your behalf. Side their stuff and say, you know what, God, no. Please, not this time. They'll get it. Hallelujah. The lack of faith brought judgment, and it delayed, more importantly, the promised fulfillment. They knew they were going to a good place, but they couldn't get there because of them. Just like a plane gets held in a holding pattern, God had to hold the people of Israel until they were ready to enter Canaan. Where are my aeroplanes? That's not a plane, that's a run. hold on, bro. Where's Rial? Where's Tyrese?
He's over there.
See, I did this before. He's gone, I think. Could you do my planes?
Yeah.
Keep going. Oh, you're going to join them. Oh, all right. Holding pattern. Now, who's controlling things? At the moment, they're doing their own thing. God has got some of us in a holding pattern. You know you haven't quite got there yet? You know because you've asked for certain things and you haven't seen the fruition. He's holding you because you're not yet ready to enter Canaan. Maybe there's a blockage and you're not clear to land. Maybe the issue's with you and you couldn't handle what he's going to give you. Jordan, you got dizzy yet? You see, this is the way to involve them so they don't run around church. All right, AJ, plane one. You're cleared for landing. Tyrese, keep going. You've got enough fuel in your tank to keep you in that holding pattern. You've got enough word in you to hold you in place. You've had enough prayers over you. Come on, keep going. You can hold a bit longer because you know what? What I'm preparing for you isn't quite finished. So Tyrese, you keep going. You keep going. You've got it. Because he's fueled up before he started the journey. He's got it. AJ, I needed you to rest. Because you know what? If I didn't give the instruction, he was going to drop. Hallelujah. Tyrese, take your place. Enter. Enter your Canaan, my bro. Go down, go. Hallelujah. Oh, sweetie, go on. God had to use that time that they were in that holding pattern to shape this raggle-taggle, inconsistent, fickle bunch of people into an obedient group, a nation that were worthy to be called my covenant people. What do you think he's doing with you? Hello? Hello? You know what? You've gone past your Egypt. You've left Egypt. You ain't there anymore. You know, the scars may still be visible, but the wounds have been healed. They've been cleaned. Those individuals that had a negative influence on this place have gone and have been replaced by people that are godly and that love God more than man. You're not in Egypt. He's changed all of that. You've moved from where you were. You have an understanding, and I know this because I can see it. You pick up the spirit when you come into a body. You have got an understanding of who God is and what he can do, that has been the result of quality pastoring. That has been the result of prayers spoken through to over you. So you know that you're at a good place. You're not back in Egypt. You've moved, but you know what? You're not in your Canaan yet either. And the word that God gave me for you this morning was that you know what? You're still on the journey. It ain't ended yet, but do not despair. You're in the holding pattern. It's transition time. Now, a lot has done and the work has been done to keep you during that season. The journey's going to be hard. It's going to be long. It's going to be difficult. But it's worth it. Can you imagine if they'd entered before they were ready? Hello? What would have happened? Mix up. They would, trust me, they would have forgotten who God was. We're here now, thank you. You brought us there. I'm going to enjoy the pomegranate and the honey and everything else. And forget that actually it was God that kept them. It was God that brought them through. Some of us can't handle the blessings. You want the blessings.
but you can't handle them. Let me share something with you. Brother Jerome. Hello, Jerome. Jerome tried to drive my car yesterday. Let me rephrase. He tried to drive the car yesterday. Drama's had his eye on that sports car since I got it. I'm not telling a lie, am I, Jerome?
There was a reason why I've been driving.
Oh, you see, people try to justify why they can't handle the blessing. Now, there was a physical limitation to why he couldn't, because he's too tall. Big old long legs. However, he liked it. He thought, put the roof down, you know, start to rain. Tried, realize actually this isn't the best fit, because you know what? That's not how God is going to bless you. He will need to bless you with a bigger car. Yeah? Because he wasn't ready. He also wasn't ready. There's also an issue about his driving ability, but I won't go there today because that's just too unfair. Hallelujah. You also know, and I know why you're not in the Egypt anymore. You know how to be led, don't you? A wise pastor once told me, Jackie, if you can recognize that people are called into leadership. You see it. God has a way of marking them out and says, right, you're in preparation. But do you know what? If you think that you can do something and people will follow you just because you've been called to be a leader, you got it wrong, because you have to learn to know how to be led first. It's true. You got to know. Someone said to me, love is servant spirited. You do not want a leader that says, serve me, when actually it's the other way. You are here to serve the body. So you know both sides. You know how to be led. You also know, those of you that are in position, how to lead. The most dangerous part for a church, and I saw it at Castle Vale, is the transition between pastor to pastor. Dangerous. You know why? Because you remove the shepherd and the flock become exposed. And if you haven't got someone that can hook the wandering sheep back into line, they have a way of doing their own thing. Do you know the ones that were compliant and behaved themselves and were working with the pastor? Pastor goes and you see something come up. Which is why I need the leaders in here to be like Holy Ghost filled sheepdogs. The shepherd sends the direction, but it's the sheepdog that keeps them in check. Because you know what? If you wander outside the fold, you become easy prey. You become easy prey. All the stuff that you thought was kind of being held together, enemy has a field day. Dangerous time. Dangerous time. Oh, hallelujah. Do you know why I know you haven't reached your Canaan yet? It's not just because I can see a maturity here. There is. And there are some that are coming in and thinking, ooh, what is this going on? Others that have been here a while and you've like, you know what? I've sorted through my stuff. I'm ready to step into my calling. There are others that are grown up enough to say, you know what? I'm still dealing stuff. But you know what? I can still praise him anyway. That it's not about tick, tick, tick. Okay, God, I'm cool. I'm perfect enough for you to do what you need to do with me. Hey, that ain't going to happen. So there's a level of maturity here. But I know you haven't reached your Canaan, because you know what? Where are the miracles? Where's the transformation in this community? Why are we running out of seats? Where are they coming in? Where's the transformation in the lives of our families, our loved ones? Where is that? Or are we going to be content to get fat and enjoy preaching and the songs? No. I sat out there this morning and I looked, because this is an unfamiliar area, and I thought, lovely church. I love the outside. Who gardeners in here? Any gardeners in here? Keeping it tidy. good with some flowers, but nice. It's a lovely welcoming place. And then I saw people go past. Two hooded boys walked down there. I'm thinking, why are they not drawn in here? You know how Darren came in last week, that Sunday? Something drew him in here. He knew that he could get something from in here, and it wasn't just his rail fare back to Warwick. What about the rest? What about the spa man across the road? Does he know you're here?
Does he?
This place should be overflowing with individuals. If there's life in here, people will come where there's bread and there's food and there's life. They will. They will. It happens. But that's why I know you're not at the promised land yet, because you're not there. Come on. But it's where God's going to get you to. Do you know, in this whole training period, and I talk about the holding pattern, I talk about they weren't ready, this readiness to enter. It's a time of training. God is loyal, he's faithful, he's stable, and he's true to his word. But do you know what? He has to prove that to you, because you kind of have to test him on it. When the people needed food, he gave them manna. Yes? God is not tied, and I truly believe he's a God that isn't tied to the old way of doing stuff. They'd never seen it. But it sustained them. It had the nutrients that they needed. It built them up. It kept them. Now, it would have got boring. But it was what they needed. They needed food. He provided. They needed clothes. Now, some scholars say that, well, they just did the swapsies, didn't they? I've kind of put on a bit of weight. So, Elaine, can I have your coat, please? Yeah? They did the swapsies. Others say there were people as they were wandering through that they did the exchange with. Others believe that if you take God, what scripture says, that some miracle happened. Now, they never wore out. In other words, they were never exposed. Doesn't matter how it happened, God did it. What about the good health? He kept them. All those years. Now, they only kind of reduced in number when God had to put judgment. But he was keeping them in health up until that point. Do you know that God will do that for us while you're in this holding pattern? While you're being trained? While he shows and proves to you, you know what, I said I'm faithful, I'm going to show you that I'm faithful. He will. What about providing for your emotional needs? Do you believe he can do that? Oh, yes. Scripture tells you that they that mourn shall be what? Is the Lord your helper?
Yes.
Do you believe that when you feel weary and feeling a bit kind of, I can't do this no more, that he will strengthen you? Uh-huh. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage and he shall do what? Strengthen your heart. He provides for that part of you. What about those that actually you're kind of feeling a little bit battle shy? I've done my bit. I've put myself out there. I'm tired. Scripture tells you and me that in Psalm 58 that the Lord will continually still guide you and he will satisfy your soul in drought. There are times where you're going to feel the drought. You're going to feel like you've got nothing else to give. But he will strengthen your bones and it continues. You shall be like a watered garden. Like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Hallelujah. There are issues about... Do you know what's the difference between stagnant water and still? There is a difference. Stagnant, stale. Still is peaceful. Stagnant has got sediment that hasn't been dealt with, hasn't been filtered, hasn't been removed, and it sits on the bottom. And all you need is someone to stir it up a bit, and it clouds and confuses the whole. But he leads us by the path of what? Oh, hallelujah. You can deal with your stuff and know, works in progress, that you will have his peace. You can be settled and still minister. Anybody who's in a battle, and sometimes, and Brother Michael, I mean, I know he's excused himself this morning, but I thought he has a wonderful, wonderful philosophy. He says, you know what, Pastor Jay, I need to, oh, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Pastor Jay, you can call me what you like. And I take March off. He's still active, he still teaches, but he says, I need to spend some time refueling. I need to take some time saying, God, am I doing this right? Am I listening to you? Or am I a wounded soldier continuing to try and walk? And I emailed him back, and he'll get picked up on Monday. And I said, you know what? Not only will I honour that, but I commend you for the confidence to say I need to do that. Because wounded soldiers cause damage. You think Prince Harry would be on that front line if he had been shot? He would lead the others into trouble. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, you know what? Let me just sort this out, and he will extract you from battle for a little period of time. The issue is when you don't, you choose not to pick up arms again. This holding pattern, this time, is a time of discipline and testing. They did not and were not ready to enter because they were disobedient and they were full of disbelief. You can't say, yeah, I believe you 1 minute and then not the other. What's that about? That's inconsistent. Double-minded, scripture tells you. Do you know the worst kind of workers? How many of you manage staff at work? All right. Mary, how difficult is it to manage staff that say one thing 1 minute and then they won't follow it through? Difficult? Do you know what? Work in the school, I love the children, and I can't deal with the staff. They do my head in. They do my head in. Why? Because they'll say one thing to your face, and you can't trust them to follow it through in the classroom. God will test you like that, you know. Uh-huh. You believe me, do you? All right, you believe me, Joan. You believe me. Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. I don't know, I believed it on a Sunday, but I'm not too sure on the Monday. Wednesday? It's like, what did he say again? What did the preacher say? By Friday, you can't even find the book in the scripture. And so you come back by Sunday, ready, thinking, maybe I need to. And that's why sometimes God has to repeat some words for some people. You don't get it. Come on. They're also, you know, and this is not for disclosure, if you are, you know where you're at, you know why your faith has to be stretched. Do you know what? If you're walking in disobedience or walking outside the will of God or involved in stuff that you know you need to close down, you ain't ready to enter your Canaan. Now, God, in his loving kindness, hasn't exposed. Because you know what? Sometimes it's nobody else's business. Sort it out, move on. Sometimes you're held in that holding pattern because he can't bless and honour sinful acts. He can't do that. He won't do that. He doesn't operate like that. Sort your skin out, move on. Then he will clear the path. Hallelujah. It's also a time of humbling. Oh gosh. When you realise that God is all you have, you'll actually realise that he'll prove that that's it. You just need me. He's loving, he's forgiving, he's just, but he's also, so he requires reverence. He's a holy God and he's got standards. He wants to be obeyed and followed, not because I tell you so, but because you lovingly want to do that. Now, to do that, who are the marrieds in here? Oh, my life. Look how reluctantly the hands go up. What are you hiding for? I noticed the wives put the hands up first before the husbands. They didn't hear. You think, Pastor Buckner? I have another explanation. Think. Those of you that are in that marriage union, and you know what? You had to choose to, do you not have to walk? Isn't that a walk of humility, Marjorie? Mm-hmm. Mother Butler, is it not? Don't you have to kind of make sure that you are submitted and make sure you do so, woo! Humble. Because you know what? To choose to follow somebody else's leadership and know that they're going to do it right and trust them takes humility. How can you submit to someone that you don't trust? How can you yield to someone that, you know what? You ain't got sense. What's going on? How can I know that you're going to lead me down the right way? And how has that come? Those strong marriages, do you know what? There's been the testing time and they've done it and he's proved himself to be a quality leader. And you know what? Says, you know what? You've proved yourself. I know you'll love me like you love God and God should love me. I can trust you. And you continue to walk and that's how they end up. It's awesome. That's also, by the way, you know I'm talking about the holding pattern? Why some of us are still in the holding pattern and not married yet. Because you ain't learned that lesson. Correction, I haven't learned that lesson yet. I believe that you will get to the point where you can embrace your Canaan. You will. You will. And how will you know? You know what? Because your faith is actually going to outweigh any fear that you've got of the unknown. It will be irrelevant, the negative report from whoever you send out, because you will know God enough to say, actually, I know that he's able to take me in there and I'm ready. You'll have enough faith in you to counteract the negative and the doubters and the people that will look on Erdington Church and go, it's just a small fellowship, they can't do nothing. Hello? I have been small, I've been into a large body, and I'm now back here for a period of time. I know where I would love to worship. Ain't in the big fellowship. Why? Why, Sister Carol? Because you can't hide. Because you know what? If I'm missing, right, someone's going to pick up the phone and ask, where you been? Someone's going to get in my business. Someone's going to say, you know what, Sister Jack? I'm praying for you because you're visible. You also have an opportunity to contribute and serve and do something because smaller bodies need all the hands. I did that, and I shared this with Bishop. I says, I did an experiment while I was down there and I sat in different parts of the church. They have the pastors at the front, like this. Now you tell me, what can you see? Nothing. Not a thing. And I says, you know what? I don't get into cliques. Not interested. God told me years ago, Jackie, you need to stay out of the loop because that is where I can use you because no one's going to tie up your mouth because you've got a friend and you don't want to offend. And I sat at the front and I thought, you can't see nothing. So I moved and I sat in the middle and I thought, then I heard all the man. Children running up and down. Now, your children here aren't out of order. They weren't disruptive, but you hear chat and chatter during the praise, during the prayer, during the word. And I thought, okay, no, I can't sit here. So I moved to the back and I saw picnic. Why? Because at the back of the church, you can't be seen for the ravens. Picnic! How can you disrespect God's house in that way? Come on! It's out of orderness. And then I moved back to my rightful place at the front because, you know what? You know why the pastor sits up the front? So that if you're called on, they can see you. but in a smaller fellowship. I can see, if you're listening to me, Minister Benjamin, I can see when you nip out the door. I can see if you're half asleep. And there's a love and a family atmosphere that you get with a smaller body. So don't anybody ever say that you aren't able to do anything. Because you know what? People are drawn to the small. And when you get larger, and hear me, when you grow, you keep a hold of this small church mentality in terms of, I'm going to lovingly make sure that everyone's okay. Come on. I'll know when you've got to, you're ready to embrace, and God will know when your trust in God is greater than your trusting in yourself. There are capable, able, intelligent people in this body. And actually, they have a harder time, I believe, trusting God. You know when you've got it all going for you? And you could plan your way, you could do what you need to do. It is a harder transition to say, you know what, I'm listening to you and I trust you to do what I need to do. I'm going to follow, I'm going to wait. But God has to know that he has your absolute, absolute, that you trust him regardless, even if you can't see it, because his ways are what? He will do things differently that our logic won't, can't see, can't fathom. You'll also know that you're ready to embrace your Canaan when your obedience far outweighs your desire to do your own thing. It matters. It matters. There's such potential here. And the awful thing and the sad thing will be is that when your transition from one pastor to the next gets that not all of you will be here. We've got to watch out for the sheep. All of us. I do not know you all well enough yet. So you know who that means? It means that Brother Jerome is going to have to give pastoral care to the young people here that you know. You know why they're missing. You know why they need to be here. And advise the senior brethren in here that have been here a long time, that have seen it all, that know what people are about. You have a voice. Amen. There's an experience in this body. And I'm actually excited. Are you excited? You going to send me running back to Handsworth? Not yet. You wait till the hard messages come. I'm just warming you up. It's a good time. Come on, let's stand. Remember, holding pattern, but it will come to an end. It will, it will, it will. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us, and I'll leave you with this one. It says, 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen or ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Hallelujah. Where's the worship team gone? All right. Worship team gone. Do you know what we're going to do? Sometimes I will have an altar call. Other times I will not. Depends on how the Lord leads. What I'm going to ask is that we pray for one another today. Remember what I said about the vulnerable point for a church? It's actually the transition. It's the transition. It's the transition. So you pray. You know who's missing here. You also know what reason. You also know those that need to be part of here that haven't been in a while. You also know the dynamics that could, if we allow, and we will not allow any disruptive and disorder to get in, come into his house. I will not allow it to contaminate what is good here. That's my job. So we're going to pray for one another. Children, it's prayer time. So what I'm going to ask you to do, those that are old enough, I'm going to ask you to be mindful
and you're going to, hi, sweetheart, you're going to pray. Don't need to say nothing. You're going to close your eyes and just going to pray. Okay, little ones? Is he asleep? Poor baby. All right, but there's no moving around during prayer time. That's one thing. I have that kind of respect for God. Thanks, Soraya. Okay, can we all pray together, please? Hallelujah. 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 So you may turn, hold someone's hand. You may be feel led to move and stand with someone. We're just going to pray for one another. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.